Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
So loving friend Terry Raposa. How are you doing, Terry?
Doing good. So we're going to have fun?
We are going to have fun. Whether we like it or not, we're having fun.
All right.
And we got a lot of good information to share. And we have Bob at the switchboard this morning keeping us out of trouble and hopefully keeping us online. That's going to be the challenge for Bob today. Thank you, Bob.
All right. The stream is online and you guys are not out of line yet anyway.
Okay, hopefully we won't go there.
He's hovering over the button.
Yes, he is.
The four-letter word button.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have fun. Jeffersonians just want to have fun, remember
that's
that.
It.
That's right, that's right.
Okay, well, I want to announce one thing as far as what's going on this Monday. First of all, at 5:30 we have our Jefferson meeting, where if you're a new person who wants to learn more about Jefferson, we have something called orientation. That starts at 5:30 at 3276 Bocelli Lane at the Eagle's Nest Church. And we have a great teacher in that with Chris Kellstrom, who will give you all the information you need to know to learn about Jefferson and what's going on. At the same time, we have the folks who have been around and fighting the fight for a while that will be in another room, and they'll be planning our next positions, how to get the word out, and also fundraisers for the court case. We also have at 6 o'clock at the Patriot meeting, we have Melissa Hunt, who's running for the Board of Supervisors. When?
Yes.
And she's running against Les Baugh.
Yes.
Yes. And as you can all recall, last time Les ran, he ran saying he supported Jefferson, and he ran saying that he was going to make sure it got put on the ballot. That was one of the things he said, and that was one of the ways he wanted to approach it. And, of course, none of that ever came to fruition. It even got to the point where they refused to even listen to us and listen to a presentation. So we'll see where Melissa stands on all this stuff. From what I understand, she's a very staunch supporter of Jefferson, and especially of representation. With that, we will also bring you an update on the Bundy trial and what happened there. Even though there was a good ruling, two of the gentlemen are still being held, and they're going to be tried for a third additional time. I mean, I guess there isn't double jeopardy. There's triple
jeopardy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
Anyway, so while that goes on, they're being held in prison, and it also delays the other cases that they want to try, including both Papa Bundy and... is it Ammon Bundy?
Ammon Bundy, yeah.
That are still sitting in prison. So with that, I'm going to go over to Wynn, and he has a special announcement about tonight's phone call.
Okay, tonight is our biweekly on our second and fourth Sunday night calls that we have with Jefferson. Excuse me, you can call in and hear what's going on. The numbers you can call are 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. And once you get into that menu, it'll ask you for a passcode, and the passcode is 307-268-#. Again, 307-268-#. And the meeting phone call is at 7 o'clock. You can also go to, and that would be on your telephone, then you can go to the SOJ51.net website that we want everybody to go to and frequent, and you can go into the calendar events on that one. And then once you get into the calendar, you can click on today's date, and it'll take you into it'll open up a menu, and you can click on chat room and get into the chat room, get signed up, and then you can see what's going on, and you can ask your questions in the chat room. That's the only way we do it. We allow the questions to be asked in the chat room so the moderators can see what's being asked, and then they can incorporate those questions into the meeting. So if you'd like to do that, that'd be great, and we'll bring this back to you a little bit later as well.
Well, right now we do have Mark Beard. We also have Scott.
Scott,
on the phone. So we have one of our attorneys on the phone also. And, gentlemen, we have you both on, and maybe, Mark, you could go first very quickly.
But before you do, we need to make sure we introduce who everybody is for new listeners.
Okay.
Because we are getting new listeners on a regular basis. So Mark Baird is our main speaker for Jefferson, and without him, we wouldn't be doing Jefferson, number one, because he introduced it to Siskiyou County in the very beginning, back, what, almost 4 years ago. And then we have Scott Staffney, who is one of our attorneys, who is a legal lead for the court case that we're going to be fighting here in California once we get to court. So there you go. I just wanted to put that out there so everybody hearing would understand who they were.
Well, we're going to go to Mark first. So, Scott, hang in there. Stay with us, my friend. And we'll go to Mark really first. He can give us a quick briefing on what happened on Friday, actually what happened on Thursday, and then we'll go over to Scott. And one last thing, gentlemen. Since you're both on the line, it may be difficult for you to hear us. Sometimes that happens when we have two people on the lines. And also, folks, it's going to be tough to call in because both our lines are tied up. So this is maybe a listening program, at least for the first part. So, Mark, head out there. Kemosabe, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Well, I think probably Scott is more qualified to speak legally as to what happened on Thursday. The hearing was canceled at the last minute within 24 hours of the actual hearing time, which caused a tremendous amount of inconvenience and expense. I think it was done purposefully. I think it was done so that the state could try to outspend us. I think it was done so that the state and the federal court, as corrupt as they are, could try to deny the people justice in this case. I am upset and angry about it, and we want to talk about a program to bury the court in letters and emails and then go after the California Citizens Redistricting Committee to bury them in emails and testimony regarding the lack of representation for ordinary Californians. I think that's the most important program we have to engage in. I want to find out whether we can get, in other words, do we have followers here that want to see liberty? If we do, it's time for them to stand up right now and participate, and it's something you can do right from your counter at the kitchen table at your computer with $10 worth of stamps. And I mean, if you want liberty, I have a job for you today, and that's what I would like to talk about when we get to a segment where I can kind of flesh out where we're going with this. But I think Scott is probably better qualified to talk about what the judge did physically in order to deny us justice on Friday.
Scott, we'd love to hear from you, my friend, and thanks again for your patriotism. I know all the hard work you put into this, and we really appreciate you, Scott. Anyway, what say you, my friend?
Well, I want to say I fully understand how the people feel who wanted to attend the court hearing. Many of them made reservations to stay at a hotel, and then they lost their deposits, and everyone was revved up to go to the hearing. But I think you need to understand the context and of what was going on. In these types of cases, you have a right to a re-judge court because these are important cases involving people's voting rights. And that can only be challenged if they can show that you don't have jurisdiction. The federal court does not have jurisdiction, or if a case is so frivolous it doesn't have a chance. And so the state of California, through actually the person we are suing is Alex Padilla, the Secretary of State, made a motion to dismiss. We pointed out to them that under a recent Supreme Court precedent, they have not met the qualifications for doing so. Now, I assumed at that time they just didn't know about Shapiro. I think, and that's a case that is on our side. And I think basically what happened is they did know about it. They're kind of waiting in the wings. And there have been other cases with regard to similar but basically different issues. So what happened was after the court granted us the motion for a three-judge district court, or to start the process of convening a three-judge district court, the secretary went in through the attorney general and asked that be vacated. And everything sat in limbo because under the process, the judge refers it to the chief judge of the Ninth Circuit, who then does something. Well, it just sat in limbo for weeks, and the judge scheduled a hearing on her sending it over to the Ninth Circuit. And it would seem that there's likely some kind of talk going between the district court and the Ninth Circuit, but I don't know. So we were going in on a motion regarding his application to undo the three-judge panel, which we should be entitled to. And so the judge said, well, I'm going to give them a chance for a hearing. And so everybody got ready for a hearing, but it was kind of ambiguous because she had already started the process of convening it, which meant the Ninth Circuit chief judge should have appointed it, and that's what happens generally in other circuits around the country. And so we sort of sat there. She ordered a hearing on it, and then she dismissed the hearing, saying she was going to rule on the motion to dismiss first. And the real question is why, when people had indicated, a week earlier that they were going to come down, they wanted to be there, did she then wait till the last minute? Now, I don't think we can assume that the court got any mal intent. I mean, you got to understand that judges, they decide these issues every day, and what they're looking at is the issue before them. And it appears what she said was, well, I'm going to do this in a different way, and sort of changed her mind. And so what I was asked was, how did I feel about people writing letters? And, you know, I fully appreciate that the folks who are bringing this lawsuit all across California and who expected a hearing because the judge had said it, and the judge had indicated that no less than, you know, 6 days before that the hearing was going to go on, that they would be upset. And so what I did was I said, well, you know, those people, it's fine if they want to write in. They've got a First Amendment right to do so. I can understand why they're upset, but I'm not saying that the court has acted necessarily inappropriately, and I did direct that no plaintiffs submit anything to the court. And by plaintiffs, I mean the people that are actually bringing the suit, have any contact with the court or the other party, because that's the appropriate decorum in these kind of cases. And I realize I'm long-winded, but you've got to take into account sometimes lawyers have to be long-winded in order to make sure the nuances of their points get out.
Scott, one of the things that a lot of people are wondering, and that is, maybe you can help clear this up, it seems as though Judge Mueller does have a lot of experience. She's been a federal court judge since 2010, and also I believe she was a magistrate before that. She does seem to have a lot of experience. Isn't it highly irregular that somebody who would look at our initial complaint and believe that it requires a three-judge panel and to make that request would go back and say, maybe, oh, silly me, what was I thinking? Is there? She also mentioned a case, Shapiro versus McManus. Is,
right.
Is that because of the ex parte application? And was that an extent because was that what they used as to get their extension? Or how does that work, if you could explain that to us?
With Shapiro versus McManus is a case that considered a statute, 28 U.S.C. 2248, I believe. Might be 4-1, but in any event, what that statute holds is that in cases where you're challenging the constitutionality of statewide apportionment, they go to three-judge courts. And the reason for that is Congress has identified that certain issues are so important that you want to give them extra special attention. And so when Baker versus Carr, Reynolds v. Sims, and the one man, one vote principles came down, they amended this three-judge district court statute. I think it was in the 70s, 76, and to say that we're going to make sure that in all these apportionment cases, you get a three-judge panel. And they changed it, but the idea that important cases should be heard before three judges and not just one has been around since at least 1903. And it is Congress that has the ability to tell the courts what they're supposed to hear and how they're supposed to hear it. So that's what Shapiro is. And from our perspective, we're saying, hey, look, Judge, we've sent you a complaint that states that we're challenging. We do have a statewide challenge to statewide apportionment, and under the statutes, you're supposed to refer this to a three-judge district court so that people can be assured that they're getting the type of judicial intent, attention that Congress intended to give the people. And so in our first complaint, we filed pretty much all of our theories, but we filed an amended complaint after we talked with the other side and they filed a motion to dismiss. Now, that was not because we agreed with any of their theories why our case should be dismissed. It was just because they had misread part of our pleadings. Like, they said that Siskiyou County was a plaintiff. Well, Siskiyou County wasn't a plaintiff. We had thought Siskiyou County was going to be a plaintiff, and people had talked to the supervisors, and it appeared like that was going to be the case. But they were talked to by several state officials, we think, kind of retaliated against or threatened not to do this. And we think several counties were. And so by them putting that in there, I wanted to make sure that we amended the complaint to make sure who the real plaintiffs were, because toward the end it became kind of clear to me that these counties, which had indicated that they wanted to be on board, were systematically getting off, and we were getting letters from their attorneys telling us that they didn't want to be involved. So I was getting concerned that the way the Attorney General was framing this issue was kind of a setup to say we had done something wrong. So I wanted to make real clear who the plaintiffs actually were. Plus, by the way that he wrote the complaint, I wanted to make clearer, you know, what our position is. And so let me kind of explain that.
Scott, we're going to have to go off to a break.
Sure.
And so once we do that, but yeah, we'd love to hear that on the amending complaint. And Mark, you still there, buddy?
Yep, still here.
Okay. we heard the whoop. There it is. Anyway,
yeah,
okay, guys,
that?
We'll be back right after the break. So time has come, folks.
For 51.
Better way to enjoy a Sunday brunch than with great music at View 202. Linda Bott,
Bruce Kalin, and Bernie Baker are back on the veranda with all your jazz favorites served up in style. This Sunday from 11:30 to 2, treat yourself, invite family and friends, and savor good music, great food, and the best view in Reading. View 202 on Hempstead Drive. Call 226-8439 to make your reservation.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. This is America, a country where at least half of the population still believe in godly moral values. They still believe this country was created for a godly purpose. We will never allow the overthrow of our country and Constitution from within. We will protect our God-given rights, such as freedom of speech and religion, and our right to protect ourselves and loved ones at any cost. But let's never forget, real freedom begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. Consider replacing incandescent light bulbs in your home with energy-efficient LED light bulbs. LED bulbs use up to 75% less energy, generate no heat, last up to 25 times longer than incandescent bulbs, and offer comparable or better light quality than other types of lighting. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you might find. You get what you need.
Yeah, you get what you need.
But we want what we want.
Okay, we're on the phone here with Scott Staffney and Mark Baird. Scott, a couple of quick things. You were going to go into the amended complaint. That's number one. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you, is that going to be heard on September 8th? And once we're done with that, we'd like to ask Mark to kind of pop into this conversation and let us know, as folks, what we can do out here. And frankly, on my part, I was one of those people who reserved a room and two rooms, actually, and it was very disappointing. We didn't get the call until 1 o'clock the day we were supposed to leave, so that was very disappointing. I mean, there is such a thing as consideration and you know, that type of thing. I just can't believe that somebody would pull the plug, you know, less than 24 hours ahead of time, but that's just me just saying. Anyway, Scott, sir, is Gary still there, too? Is Gary with you still? Gary Zuerman, is he still there?
No, Gary's not on the line. No. But is he still there in town?
Oh, is he still in California?
Yes, sir.
No, but I talked to him about 2 minutes before I called in.
Oh, okay, great.
So we are working on it as we speak.
Oh, great. Yeah, he's been wonderful too. Anyway, sir. Yes.
Let me explain that I don't think the amended complaint represented anything significantly different.
But okay.
What we are saying is that since the days that our founders wrote the Constitution and it was ratified by the people, that the notion of self-governance has evolved over time. And it evolved after the Revolutionary War into what it started out as. And then after the Civil War, in fact, the Civil War was fought over apportionment issues. And then after World War II, we led an international movement to try to get countries around the world to agree that representative government should be the way of the world. And then in the 60s, we had the Supreme Court enacting one person, one vote principle. And then we had countries enacting conventions defining what the right to self-representation is. And so we're saying when you look at all those things together, along with amendments to our Constitution, what California has is not a system of self-representation.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all we've got now is an election system. You get elected, and then you do nothing necessarily for your representatives. Or excuse me, your representatives do nothing for the people in their district who they're supposed to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make that point very easily just by going to the California Constitution, which is what we're challenging. In 1879, based on an intent to discriminate against Indians, Chinese, and non-white folks, they put a cap on the number of state legislators they could be. There can only be 40 senators, and there can only be 80 assembly people. Now, that cap memorialized a statutory cap that was in effect in 1862. And at that time, the population of California was 40,000. So each assembly person actually represented approximately 2,500 people. Each senator represented approximately a little under 6,000. So fast forward to today. Now California is almost 40 million people, and each senator represents approximately a million people, and each assembly person represents 500,000 people. And the attention is all about these guys getting voted in, but the problem is, you're not voting in a representative government because the numbers are too large. And we know that wasn't a purpose because those arbitrary numbers have nothing to do with representation. I mean, they don't take into account, can one person serve this many people in his district? And so, essentially, one of the questions we raise is when the Supreme Court decided to adopt one person, one vote, They also must have been considering that districts may get too large to the point where they're not representative in the nature required by our Constitution, our laws, and our treaties. Because at some point, when the vote gets so meaningless, people don't vote. And what you have is not a republic, but an oligarchy. And our founders in the very beginning were clear that they didn't want the states or the federal government to be a monarchy, an aristocracy, or an oligarchy. And California has long since passed the notion of a representative republic. Obviously, when one legislature claims to represent a million people, he's talking about representing the raw power of a million people, not taking care of them as constituents. So what we are arguing is, in keeping with the growth of the notions of self-governance, you have to make sure that the representative is really representing somebody other than their own interest or the interests of those people who finance their campaigns.
Absolutely, and that's well said, my friend. You're absolutely right. I mean, when this thing was capped, there was around 416,000 people. I mean, and now there's 40 million. Scott, can you stay with us? I'd like to go to Mark real quick and see what he has to say about this. And Kemosabe, what kind of words of wisdom can you give us? And what, more importantly, what action do you think we should take at this point?
Well, I think that we're down to crunch time. You know, we talked for a long time about how the nasty part of this hasn't started yet. Well, now it has. I am convinced that there was inappropriate conversation between the magistrate and someone in the state or someone in the Ninth Circuit or someone, and caused really this action to take place in the most disrespectful and insulting manner possible to the people of California and the people of Northern California in particular. I mean, for people from my county, it's over 500 miles round trip to Sacramento. Some people left on Thursday morning in order to get down there in time to be fresh and ready to attend the hearing and see that justice is served, no matter what the outcome was. But I think that we have an answer. We are the people, described in Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. We are the people, described in the Declaration of Independence. We have the power to alter or reform government whenever the public good demands. And now it's time to start using that power. And what I'm asking people is this: do you genuinely support the cause of liberty through better representation in smaller districts? Do you genuinely wish to see the state of Jefferson come to fruition? If you do, I've got a job for you. We need about 5,000 emails. We need about 5,000 handwritten letters to the Justice Kimberly Mueller of the Federal Court for the Eastern District. We need about 5,000 letters to the California Citizens Redistricting Commission, which is about to have another meeting. And by the way, in California, it is extremely rare to ever get rid of an incumbent. That's not representation, that's oligarchy, as Scott described. We need a much more expanded representative system so that it is cheap and easy to get rid of a bum once he's elected and once he starts taking handouts from the state or the state lobbying groups or whoever. And so here's our job. The contact information for Kimberly Mueller is on the website for Federal Court for Eastern District. Look her up by name, Kay Mueller, and her contact information will become available. The California Citizens Redistricting Commission has a website. I'll quickly give you the address. I don't expect anybody to be able to really write this down.
Mark, can you get that on SOJ soj51.org, soj51.org, so that people
can
go to that. Thanks.
And here's what I'm asking everyone to do. Go buy $10 worth of stamps and send at least a letter a day or a letter every other day from you, handwritten, describing your frustration and anger at the treatment the court has been giving the citizens of the state of California, and remind the judge that she works for justice, not for the state of California. And also, I would recommend that people write the Citizens Redistricting Commission demanding that representation be dramatically increased, because as Gary Zerman so aptly put, it doesn't do us any good to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. If we don't have a dramatic increase in representation through much smaller districts so that it is cheap and easy to get rid of a corrupt politician, it doesn't do us any good. We are slaves of the state. An example of that coming up is California is going to circulate a bill to tax drinking water next.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the next thing. They're literally going to tax the water you have to drink every day to survive. They're taxing the air you breathe. Through the drive-by-the-mile plan, they're going to tax every step you take. Have you had enough yet? If you have, fight. And all we're asking is write letters, send emails. When you send an email, we need to be able to track how many are going. So please, when you send an email, CC your county's committee, or BCC, blind copy your county's committee, so we can track our progress. And those email addresses are available on soj51.org. So when you send an email to the clerk of the court of the Eastern District or to the California Commission for Redistricting, please BCC your county committee so that we know by county how we're doing. When you send a letter, please email your county committee saying, sent letter today to Judge Mueller and redistricting. Please do that. Let's bury him, guys. In other words, we do not have a gripe if we don't stand up and talk. You know, one defense people have in court, let's say Mr. Waters walks into court on the 8th and says, you know, Your Honor, we had a redistricting committee hearing on September the 1st, and, you know, nobody showed up and nobody complained. So I don't know what these people are talking about, because they're not complaining about the process through the proper channels. We have to complain in order to be heard. So we have to have a cause of action in order for our cause of action to be heard. We're not being represented. This state is an absolute failure, a total disaster, a debt ship sinking with all hands on board while the legislature fiddles on the main deck and sings happy songs about what a socialist paradise, utopian society they're creating. And you know, if you don't agree with that, now's your chance. And if you don't complain, you deserve the life you get. In other words, we don't get the government we deserve. We get the government we allow. If you allow this, then you deserve it.
Hey, Mark, quickly, real quick, just wanted to make sure that the folks that are directly named as plaintiffs, and they all know who they are, cannot communicate with Judge Mueller, period. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so
there will be no communication between any plaintiff in the case or any board member or affiliate with CFR. None. It's inappropriate contact. However, those individuals can write and email the Citizens Redistricting Commission,
I
urge them to. They should. And I'm going to, and my wife is going to, and we're, as soon as we finish this radio program, we're going to sit down at the counter and write our first letter. And we're going to write one letter a day until September 8th.
Okay.
What we have to do is, folks, if you folks that are out there listening, especially the people on the committees, you guys, we really need to email our folks, 1,200, 1,500 emails, whoever's on your list, and let them know to write a letter. This isn't a time for us all to discuss. It's time for us to do some action here. And that action is getting these letters out there. That action is letting the people know in your county on your email lists that they need to write a letter, they need to email, and all the instruction Mark just gave. And one last thing, and I think we probably have to go to our last break very quickly, but one last thing I want to mention, and that is Mark hit the nail on the head. As you know, the Republican Party usually throws their money at the incumbent, and even if these guys won't have dinner together, one incumbent will support the other incumbent, therefore we end up with lifetime politicians.
Just to save the party.
Just to save the party. Anyway, with that, Wynn is going to give the phone number for the conference call tonight. We encourage everyone to be on there. We can accommodate around 1,000 people, folks. You can get on the phone call, and Wynn's going to give you that info, then we'll go off for a break. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, the conference phone call number is area code 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound or hashtag. Again, the number is 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound or hashtag, and the call begins at 7 p.m. And again, you can hear what's going on and understand what, you know, you can hear it. It's this phone conversation. You can't speak, but then if you want to have dialogue through the moderators, go to the chat room on soj51.net, or Don will get you there. Go to the chat room, and you can get access to the chat room through the calendar. And once you get the calendar open, click on today's date, and it'll have a blue written words that says chat room, or it'll say chat room or chatsy on it. Click on that, and then just get yourself into the system, and you'll be good to go. You'll be able to type in your messages, and the moderators will share pretty much everything that's on there. They're really good about doing that. So make sure that you participate, because that's what we're all about.
Time has come
for 51.
Know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California. A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Alrighty, we're back.
We're back. Real quick, hey, Mark. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. I want to just double check and make sure that I didn't miss something. Because a moment ago, when you were describing who we needed to contact, were there three or just the two contacts, Mueller and the redistricting office? Was there another?
Well, I think our first two email and mail campaigns should be the federal court and the citizens, the so-called Citizens Redistricting Commission.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think those should be our first two targets. And if you want to include Governor Brown and someone else, I think that's great. But I think these two contacts are directly germane to the case we're trying to make.
Okay yeah, okay, we good. Just want to know whether there's two or three.
If we don't complain, we don't have a leg to stand on.
That's right. Correct. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something.
Okay, guys, we only have a couple of minutes left, so Scott,
well,
if you
could... I would like to then say something because I think it's important.
Sure, yeah.
That is, sometimes there's a spiritual synchronicity to events, and Judge Mueller's stopping this hearing focused our attention on the Committee for Redistricting Commission. And that, I think, was a fortunate event. One, it's happening September 1. And if everyone were to go to the Jefferson Messenger, it refers to that committee, and there's a link indicating its agenda and who you can contact. So this says, please contact Christina Shoup at 916-709-6303 or votersfirstapp@crc.ca.gov to submit written material regarding an agenda item, but they also say to submit it regarding any matter. And I think what you want to complain about is representation. That because the cap remains in place forever, I mean, if California grows to a billion people or more, you run the risk that a senator is going to claim the power that all these people represent without ever doing anything for them. That's totalitarianism. That's not the representative republic that we were intended to have, and that our country has said we have had for, you know, since time immemorial. It's really time to make the country, the Supreme Court, stand up. They're the ones that got us into the one man, one vote. Was the purpose of that to create tyranny? We need to know. But in any event, you need to raise this issue with this Citizens Commission, and you need to remember that it's got to be in there by September 1. And that's why I think there were just, maybe Judge Mueller may just have been an instrument of a greater plan, because by her calling off that hearing, we are now able to focus on the commission. So let me read you that.
Scott, Scott, we only have about 40 seconds left. Scott, we only have about 40 seconds.
Okay.
So, somebody ought to use them. Mark, go ahead.
Go for it. Use the 40 seconds.
Okay, well, I'll use the 40 seconds. If you go to the Jefferson Messenger, there is a link to the agenda, which, by the way, is really interesting because the agenda basically says we're going to have a meeting in Sacramento, we're going to have a telephone conference for you to participate in Capitola, and the other location is in Mexico. Now, why would a state of the United States, and I know your governor seems to want to think this is a country and they can do international treaties and all that sort of thing, but why would the voters and the people, actually it's more the people of California, want to have, out of all this state's mass and population, why do they have one of its two locations to give information to this commission in Mexico?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a good point, my friend. But
good point.
Yeah, great point. Scott Stafney, thank you so much. You've been fantastic. We will continue this, believe me. Anyway, folks, we're going to have to hit it here. We're getting the high sign, the low sign, and we're even after 10 o'clock. But because we had Scott Stafney, we'll do that. Time has come, my friend.
For 51.
And this is...